Well, welcome back, fellas. I'll cover off just some things before we go. And Brian Little's not part of our group here, and he won't be in this return to play. He saw doctors in June, had extensive tests, and we were left with the idea that he needed another block of time before any decisions could be made. And hopefully that time would provide, I guess, more time for healing. So Brian won't be part of our group. Insofar as players on the ice, injuries, pretty strict protocol here. My comments are going to be basically not fit to play on game days and not able to practice. And I wouldn't read anything into whether a player was on the ice or not necessarily as a COVID situation, but that will be the extent of any questions that you have. I'm just helping you guys save your breath for... It is the smallest, the one small perk. There won't be any injury or health updates as we go forward.
Hi, Paul. Tim Campbell here. I guess I'm clear to lead it off. Can you tell us how you're feeling to be on the ice today with this process officially underway after all this time?
You know, and that's really good is the answer to that. The amount of work that's gone into, and I'm going to talk about other people, not necessarily the coaches here. We've been pretty focused on hockey, but in the last month especially, the number of precautions that needed to be taken, processes that had to be developed in your room. There's been a whole lot of non-hockey effort. The medical guys and the equipment guys have been going flat out for a long time to make it right. So it was nice to put that all aside. They had gone through 3 days of their phase two, so the players had an understanding of what it was like coming into the rink, and then you get back out in the ice, then it's just hockey. So that felt really good. I was worried, or I don't know if worried, maybe there was an anticipation that this would have kind of a summer hockey feel, a certain casualness about it. I didn't feel like that. The players were really focused on the hockey part of it. Maybe for them it was... a relief to get to something that they do understand, something that's normal, and what was going on the ice was fairly normal.
And one quick follow-up. I'm wondering, given that, you know, that the hockey time here now, it's playoff time, pressure's up, all eyes are on, so that's its own challenge. But now you have all these things like protocols and restrictions and whatnot to keep track of.
Well, it's going to be relative. I guess every city, every market has their own challenges. We have different rules in states and provinces. But at the end of the day, we're all pretty much dealing with the same thing. Yeah, there's a lot more moving parts. And so everything is different, right? How you enter the building, how you interact, it's all different. But it's all different for everybody. So we simple priorities. Priority is the player's health. The man, then player's health, the hockey, because there's ramifications too, right? You can have a certain number of people in your training room, depending on the size. You have 31 players, and the staff is limited to the number of people that are in the room. So, but those are priorities one and two, the man's health, the player's health. And then after that, because it's an even footing, I think we'll get really used to it very, very quickly. There's certainly going to be changes every day. We've seen that, but that would be more of a statement of our whole year than necessarily this stretch. I think the players and the coaches will get very quickly into the rhythm of what the protocols are, and they will be easily be able to focus on the hockey.
Coach, when you take a look at your preparation leading into this week, you're into day one today, day two, and the early parts here of this opening week. How do you manage or how do you approach this with your club? Because you know the calendar that kind of lies ahead of you here, and there's so much eagerness to kind of get rolling.
Right. So we have every day planned with a really keen awareness that after day two, you're going to be making adjustments. So we make an assessment of where we think our players are after today. That's important. We also will see how they come back to the rink tomorrow, really involved with that the interaction between our head athletic, our therapists, our medical people, and the players to give us feedback on what was the ramifications of the skate the day before. So we're going to really be in tune to how our players are feeling, and that will green light us kind of in terms of when we start to push heavier, when we get into the battle. The early part of our camp is going to be about getting the feet, the hands, and I guess the groins kind of warmed up and back to it. We'll get into more battle and the grind and one of the scrimmage idea of hockey kind of in the middle part of this training camp, and then focus on a couple other things on the way out. So we've got kind of every day is detailed in what we want to cover. That's done. The video's done. What we're doing now is really planning on making good adjustments, getting feedback from the players, getting feedback from the trainers, finding the right days to push heavy, to go heavy on. And each day we'll bring a new set of circumstances and we'll prepare from there.
Will you skate your group every day in the first 6-7 days here?
No, we're going to work a day off in, but it goes to kind of the answer to my first question. Really haven't decided which day that is. So we want to get them to a certain threshold where you've pushed them hard enough that there is some soreness, that they're feeling kind of that training camp body, and make sure we get rest on that day. So I used to have to submit a schedule maybe in a month in advance and tell the players when the day off is. I like this quite a bit better. You're going to give your team the day off where you think it maximizes their health and their recovery. So there will be one, I'm pretty sure, in the first 6 days. There'll be one off ice day, and then maybe more going forward.
Thanks.
Paul Murad from The Athletic here. At the beginning of the year, you sized up your team, and I think you used the words areas where your team could be great and areas where the team was light on greatness, and there were some changes to how the Jets played this year versus last. Now that you've got full health, you've got trade deadline acquisitions and things like that, how does that play into your preparation for what these Jets can do versus, say, October, November?
Right. So, you know what, maybe, Murat, there was some unknown. Well, there's an awful lot of unknown. Coming into training camp last time, we had big changes on our blue line and then the subtraction of Dustin Byfuglien. So we had prepared for what we thought was going to happen, kind of like this training camp now. We have a pretty good idea where we think our players are going to come in, but we'll make adjustments if we have to. So we've identified, I think, three strong things. One of them is just we want to carry over something that we did very well in the first part of the year, and then a couple of areas we want to focus with. We're gonna approach this team that's here now in the same manner that we would have approached the team necessarily at the start. There's some core things that we need to be better at, and then there's some core things that we think are really good at. So making sure that when we get to our first playoff game, that what we're good at, we've maintained, and we think there's some timer and some room here to shore up some areas where we can improve.
When you were able to add somebody like Dylan DeMello, and your top four looks really good compared to some of the injury times and stuff like that, are you guys automatically going to have more puck and be able to be more aggressive up ice just by personnel reasons?
Well, there's a couple things we don't know. One of them is ice conditions. I don't know if either team's going to want the puck that much more. See how the ice is. But we feel, certainly when we added, we've added, you know, we lost a center and added a center in Cody Eakin. We lost Brian Little, and then we lost a defenseman in Dustin Byfuglien and added a defenseman. So we feel we've kind of gotten ourselves back to maybe what we thought we would have at the start of the year. And the style of hockey we play is fairly defined by the personnel. It's not necessarily the game that I believe that I would try to have every team play. It's related to the personnel that we have. We have enough speed and enough skill that we like to have the puck, that we think we can create some things. We were pretty committed on trying to be a better defensive hockey team in a few areas, so we think we're good there.
Ted Lyman here from The Sun. Can you hear me okay?
Oh, yes, sir.
That's great. Listen, 2 years ago, you had one day to prepare for a series against Vegas. Now you have a couple of months and a full training camp to prepare for a series against one team. How do you approach that? It's obviously quite different than it normally
is. Yeah, I mean, that is such a a real question of philosophy, right? So when you poll the other NHL coaches and you talk to guys, what do you, and you ask, you know, what's your plan for that? The one thing that I think we all kind of got to is the primary priority one is your own team and your own game. So you're right. I mean, by the time you're done the pre-scout, never, ever, possibly in the history of hockey, have you pre-scouted a playoff game with a month and a half in advance. So there's a great thing there, but there's a danger there too. So we want to pick the things that, you know, that we're good at, focus on that, make sure that our game is right. And then clearly you want to have a plan for the style of game. At the end of the day, I don't know what the percentage is, Ted, but there's a big chunk of hockey that's the same, right? It doesn't really matter who you're playing. You've got to do a number of things well to expect to win regardless of the opponent. And then there's things that you can do to enhance yourself, your game, your chances against an opponent. You know, it's that idea of that old business concept, the SWOT analysis, strengths, weaknesses, opportunity, and threats. You kind of look at the team, you figure out what they're good at, what you're good at, and you see how to play off that. I would say that we will be heavily slanted to what the Winnipeg Jets are good at, and then clearly we'll have wrinkles as they will. The really kind of neat story here is there probably isn't another team in the NHL that, based on last season, we know less about. Right, we had one game against them, so that would almost make them like an Eastern Conference opponent, and it was an outdoor game, and they had a different coach. So both teams are kind of, that don't have any memory of a style of game or what it might look like. It's been at least a year and a half, I guess, before these two teams can remember the hockey. So this is going to be unusual for sure, but certainly exciting. Right. Because there's two pieces to that. That's how we ended. And whether, I know that was a long time ago, but it was four in a row. And prior to that, we like a lot of the trends that we saw from February 1st on. Familiarity is very important to us. So we've got two lines that have played an extended amount of time with Kopp and Lowry, but with different right wingers. We've got the new line, which is a function of Cody Eakin being a new player for us. So we wanted to put we did pairings and lines wherever possible, where we thought we liked the line together, we put them together again. And that familiarity would be important.
And I know you got a chance to prepare to not have Brian Little, but can you quantify what his absence means to your group for the return to play?
Brian Little's the guy that you're trying to add at the deadline, right? The really good two-way pro, the guy that you're not really coaching because he knows exactly where he's supposed to do. He's got a great work ethic. So you miss that out of your room. Where we were fortunate is we were able to find a player in some ways a bit like that, certainly in temperament and personality and focus in the game. Cody's not an outspoken guy, neither was Brian. They both know their way around the defensive zone very, very well. Cody scored a bunch of goals last year so he can produce points. We know that Brian had done that for us. So, I think you asked me to quantify it. I don't think I can, but I can tell you that we were fortunate and able to add a player that's similar in temperament and professionalism as Brian.
Hi, Paul. It's Paul Friesen at the Sun. Come back.
Thank you.
I missed your audio at the start.
You didn't miss anything.
When you were talking to roster, did any Jets players opt out? Have you made that clear yet?
Hang on, I'm going to have to ask legal counsel on that. So, no would be the answer, right? No players opted out.
Okay.
I get to take the fifth on all of it from here on out, just so we're clear. I'm kind of looking forward to it.
Sports across the border are having a tough time restarting. I mean, with little outbreaks here and there, and what makes this a good idea?
Oh, an awful lot of reasons that make it a good idea. I don't know. I'm completely honest with you. I don't know what the other sports have done in terms of their protocol. I don't. I know that here in Winnipeg, and this isn't just the Winnipeg Jets, it's also true of, we stayed here right through. We've done a really good job of adhering to the rules, I think, in Manitoba and Winnipeg. We've done the right things and benefited greatly from it. I know that the Jets players that came in, we didn't go to any minimum standards on terms of quarantining and things. We went above and beyond it to make sure that the players that came to the rink knew that they had tested negative for quite some time, so that they're not a risk to themselves or the people in their community. So we're ready to play. I also feel strongly that I think, Paul, if you kind of went through what our organization did in the last month to make our room sterile, to keep our players safe, you could say, and I mean, how I feel about it is, this is a big undertaking, and there probably is going to be a fair amount of inconvenience to the players and the coaches to do this, but it certainly hasn't been casual, and it most definitely has put themselves in the best position they could be to be safe. So it's a good idea, because I think they've done a marvelous job of working hard to make sure that these players and their families are going to be safe. It's a good idea because I'm a hockey fan and I'm going nuts. It's in the middle of July. I didn't get to see playoffs. I want to see it. I think it's a good idea because we have a responsibility also, first to our health. I get that. But also, we're entertainers, right? So this is a prime time. People want to watch hockey and they want to see it. So that's our job, and we have a responsibility to do our job.
Hey, Paul. Sean Reynolds here. I'm sure there was a bit of intrigue for you in seeing your players or waiting to see them come back and what you were going to see from them as far as how they've taken care of themselves and how ready they are. I know it's early, but what did you see from them today?
First, a bit of what we thought. We thought there'd be a spectrum, right? There'd be guys that had access to ice that looked like, you know, we played Edmonton yesterday, and they look right. There's guys that didn't have a lot of access to ice, but they didn't look as far off. We did not push them particularly hard today, so I can't make some assessments that you might make after a day one of a normal training camp where you drive them really hard and you see how they respond kind of over those first 3 days. We wanted to, I guess, maybe take it out of the garage a little bit slowly. Certainly, you know, we're going to amp up very quickly here. That wasn't almost the key for today. The key thing that I took away from today was you can tell whether your team wants to be on the ice or not. You know, there's practices, you bring them out, nobody wants to be there. But they wanted to be on the ice. And when you were taking them through a drill, they ran their routes, right? They did the drill exactly the way that it was designed, what they were supposed to do with it. And they looked like they were having fun. So that my takeaway is, I got a bunch of guys on the ice that were really happy to be on the ice. They had a little bit of fun. They worked hard. So I'm pleased. They look like they want to be here. They look like they want to play. They want to compete.
Yeah. Hard, which is potentially disastrous.
So that's right. That's the challenge here for sure. You don't want to be crossing that line in a normal training camp. You set a guy back, you've pushed, and you've got, you know, 13 guys dealing with groins. I'm talking about a 50-man camp, because there's certain thresholds, right? If you're at a 50-man camp and you're sitting on anything under 10 in terms of guys groins, you're feeling pretty good about it. When you get past 10 guys with groins, you're going, the camp's been a little heavy, the ice has been a little sluggish. So that's normal. You're worried about that. But the result of losing a player early now can be, you know, disastrous, right? You've got three games, playoff games, they're saying. So the challenge is greater there. But if you're looking at a risk-reward, your team has to get pushed here. At some point here, we're going to have to get right to pace and right, because you can say, hey, great, we got to the first game, we didn't have one injury. But if your team's not ready, you're only playing three games. Now, you can get to that game one and have lost a key piece. because you pushed them hard. But if they survived it, you got a good chance of winning that first game. So it is, that's a real good challenge, where some of it's on feel. Fortunately, you know, the coaches here have seen a lot of hockey, seen a lot of practice. You can tell where your team's at after a while. But as soon as we feel the right time to go as hard as we can, is we're going to push them real hard. What's the truth? The truth is I don't know, because I'm not sure I've ever been in a best of five series. That would be the first one. I know that it's weighted more favorably in some ways to the home team, based on the way it's structured out. So in a normal seven game series, you're guaranteed to play through two home games and two road games. And in this, you're not, right? There's the cutoffs. Three games, and the first two games are Calgary is the home team, so that's slightly weighted in their favor, except it's not going to be played in Calgary and there won't be any fans cheering in the building. So the all the other pieces that come into play here, because I don't know how to weigh them, I would say that I don't know the difference. I think the mentality, possibly, you can get into a kind of the seven-game series, and if you think the two teams are evenly matched, you're going to say this is going to be a grinder. Like, I think, you know, go back to the last seven-game series, the Nashville series that we had, you almost could predict it. You could feel it. You know, there's 2 points that separated the teams in the regular season. It could go to seven. This one will be viewed far more, I think, as a sprint. You know, as hard and as fast as you can. Everybody will be talking about running four lines, but that bench might get a little short, a little early. So I think I've really beat your answer to death, Sarah. I would say that I'm not sure, because I've never been in a five game in the NHL or had 4 months off before we played it. But I think there might be a mindset of this is going to be a sprint, so there's no sense saving them for game six. Maybe more so than ever, right? This is a whole new set of challenges, and it's an unknown set of challenges. It's not even that it's laid out for you. You're not sure what the bubble's going to look like. You're not sure what the hub's going to be, what the practice schedule's going to be, what the ice is going to be like. There's so many things that you don't know. So if you can go in with a, I don't know if positive frame of mind is the words that I'm feeling, if you can go in and look at this as a challenge that's exciting, so you can have a little bit of fun with this, get a little wired up for it, it could be a great thing, right? Like the team that wins the Stanley Cup, all of those hardships are going to be the memories. I mean, that's what they're going to remember. I don't even know what those hardships are yet, to be honest with you, Sarah, because I know they're coming. I haven't seen it yet. So all of the difficulties that you have, that you're going to have to win the Stanley Cup this year, will be the best part of the memories.
Paul, Mike McIntyre, welcome back. And good news, I think I'm the last one here, so you're almost done. You mentioned sort of risk-reward and sort of the unique schedule to all this. I just wonder what your thoughts are on playing one exhibition game and what that is going to look like. Will it be guys going at half speed because nobody wants to get hurt? Or do you feel it's a necessary part of all this?
I do.
Or there not be?
No, I'm feeling, you know, if they had said two, I'd have been all right with that as well. But one might be the right number. Like, we're not... Nobody's getting to that point where they're sure what it's going to look like on opening night, right? I mean, maybe all the teams that finish the top four, they can get some exhibition games under your belt. But the last exhibition game that you play in a normal year is usually terrible. Nobody wants to get hurt. Nobody wants to be involved in that game. This one's different. We need it. We need to, you know, you test that pace. So you'll see guys go pretty hard early on, I think, in that game. And if they're kind of, you know, they're listening to their engine, they're going, okay, I feel pretty good, then you're going to see a lot of short shifts and there won't be a lot of guys blocking shots. But No, I'm good with them being an exhibition game. We got 30, 31 guys we're allowed to bring in. That makes for an unusual scrimmage schedule. If you brought 40 guys in, 45 guys into camp, you could scrimmage straight through this. There's almost not enough guys. I mean, you're talking about each team would have three lines and six D if you did the kind of normal structure. You could get through that. And so that's good, except as soon as you have one injury, you're running a short bench somewhere. So we need an exhibition game. Probably glad it's one. You know, it's kind of like try your suit on, fine, it fits, get married the next day. Like, you don't need to try it on 10 times.